Shalom, today's daf Yomi is Shavuos daf Mem Gimel Shavuos 43. Back on Mem Beis, Amma Beis, there is a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, Eilu Dvarim She'ein Nishbarin Lahem. Even though, in general, we say that there are certain situations where we must take an oath, that biblically speaking we're required to take an oath. There are three situations where there's a biblical oath that's required. That is a shvuas eid echad. If one witness comes along and testifies, the person we testifies about, we normally need two witnesses to make somebody guilty, but in this case one witness can force you to take an oath. Shvuas shomrim, which is an oath if somebody was in charge of watching something and then there's a claim against it, he has to take an oath about the fact that he wasn't irresponsible with the way he watched. And in the third category is as it relates to modiv amitzus, a partial admission. Somebody, for example, makes a claim for $100 and you only admit to 50, then you need to take an oath about the remaining 50. That's a partial admission. A biblical oath is required. So even though we, generally speaking, have three areas where biblical oaths are required, our Mishnah says there are certain things which we don't take an oath about. And those things are avadim, shtaros, karka, and hekdeshos, slaves, contracts, real estate, and sacred foods. But the Rishonim say that you would still take a rabbinic oath about this called Shavuos Heses. But these categories, our Mishnah comes along and says you don't take a biblical oath about these matters. Rabbi Meir comes along in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir says, even though we say you don't take an oath about real estate, there is a caveat to that. And the caveat is yesh dvarim shehem b'karka v'einon karka. There are certain things that are in the ground, they're in the real estate, but yet they're still not considered to be like real estate, and you would take an oath about those things. And the Chachamim in the Mishnah argue with Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir says, yes, I agree that we don't take an oath about real estate, but there are certain things which we call ground, but yet we don't consider it ground in terms of saying that there's no oath on them. What is the thing that Rabbi Meir is talking about? Comes along our Gemara on Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, and Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina comes along and says, I'll tell you what he's talking about. He's talking about Hacha Ba'anavim Omdos Li Batzer Kamiflagi. Rabbi Meir is talking about grapes that are in the ground, but the time has come for them to be cut. So since the time has come for them to be cut, then we can assume that it's not actually there. Even though they're in the ground, we assume that it's not actually there because they're ready to be cut. And so therefore, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion, Kibitzuras Damian, that we view them as though they're cut and you take an oath about it, whereas Rabbanan come along and say, no, we don't view it as though it's already cut. Lo kibitzuras damim, we don't view them as though they're already cut, and so therefore you cannot take an oath about it because, biblically speaking, you're not required to take an oath about it because we view them actually as real estate. Comes along the Rishonim and they point out, and the Achronim point out, that this dispute between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan here, where Rabbi Meir says that something that's ready to be cut, we view it as though it's cut, even though it's not actually cut, we view it as the status as though it's cut, versus the Chachamim who say we don't. This is actually corresponds to a machlokas we have throughout Shas with Rabbi Shimon and the Chachamim, where Rabbi Shimon says that something that's about to be redeemed, for example, that it's ready, capable of being redeemed, we view it as though it's redeemed. Whereas the Chachamim disagree with that. And so some want to say that maybe this is the same dispute, the dispute between Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan, maybe it's the same as between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanan. So the Shaar HaMelech points out that there's a fundamental difference. He says, even though in general we rule like the Rabbanan versus Rabbi Shimon, and we say, no, we don't change the status, for example, as it comes to be redeemed from Hekdesh until it's actually redeemed, when it comes to something being cut, whether or not we have to wait till it's actually cut from the ground to view it as cut, there we could still rule like Rabbi Meir. And the reason why we could still rule like Rabbi Meir is because that by its nature, grapes are supposed to be cut. You're not going to leave the fruits on the ground forever. You're going to cut them. And so therefore, since from its very nature, it's ready to be cut, therefore, under these circumstances, even though we rule like Chachamim versus Rabbi Shimon, we would rule like Rabbi Meir versus Chachamim, and we would say that something that is able to be cut is going to be viewed as though it is actually cut, even though it has not yet been cut. So that is the position of the Shaar HaMelech. The Shaar HaFraim argues and says, no, even over here, under these circumstances, we would not rule like Rabbi Meir. He says, we don't rule like Rabbi Meir, and so we always rule like the Chachamim, and so therefore, he says, we're consistent that even though it's ready to be cut, we don't view it as cut. And one of the areas where he brings this up as relevant, according to the Shaar HaFraim, is, for example, if somebody has a bread, a lechem mishnah on Shabbos, and we know that when it comes to lechem mishnah, you need to have a complete loaf of bread, a whole loaf of bread. So let's say the portion of the loaf, however, is burnt. And so therefore, since a portion of the loaf is burnt, that's being ready to be cut off. You're going to cut away the burnt part. So can we still view this loaf that's burnt, can we still view it as a whole loaf? And so therefore, you have fulfilled the custom, the obligation of having Lechem Mishnah, even though a portion of it is ready to be cut off. So the Shaar Ephraim says, well, according to Rabbi Meir, who says everything that's standing to be cut, we view it as though it's already cut, so therefore this can't combine for the Lechem Mishnah, because it's not considered to be a complete loaf of bread. And so therefore he says that if we follow this position, and if we rule like Rabbi Meir, we would view it as being cut. But since we don't rule like Rabbi Meir, so therefore we follow the Chachamim, and the Chachamim say, until it's cut, it's not actually cut, and therefore you could use it as Lechem Mishnah. That's what Shaar Ephraim says, you can use a burnt loaf for Lechem Mishnah. The Shaari Tshuva comes along and argues. He says, no, we rule like Rabbi Meir. The Chachamim argue with Rabbi Shimon, we rule like the Chachamim. When the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Meir, we rule like the Chachamim. So we don't rule like Rabbi Meir. We don't say something that is ready to be cut is considered to be like it's cut. So he says, we rule like the Chachamim, and it's not cut. However, he still says, when it comes to Lechem Mishnah, since the Shaar Tshuva says, since we, even though we don't rule like the Chachamim, but we do rule like the Rabbi Meir, it would still be possible, even if you follow Rabbi Meir, to say with respect to Lechem Mishnah, that you could still use it. And the reason it says, very simply, some people use burnt bread. They like the burnt part of the bread. So even though you could say we rule like Rabbi Meir and it's cut off, nevertheless, we could still use this bread as Lechem Mishnah, because you wouldn't want to cut it off. You would want that burnt part of the bread, and so therefore you can use a burnt loaf for Lechem Mishnah.